And we're live.
Hey, everybody. It's Brian Ozone here with another episode of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. And we have a very special guest tonight. With us is one of the most iconic voices of the 80s, Lionel himself, Larry Kenny. Larry, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you, Brian?
Very good. I'm very happy to have you.
Happy to be here.
One of the most iconic voices of the 80s and so on. If people don't know, this is Lionel, the voice of the Thundercats. And then you went on to do his father's voice, Claudius, in the reboot a couple of years ago.
Yeah, for Warner Brothers. That's right.
How was that coming back? I mean, that must have been really cool to be introduced, you know, and be in the new reboot. That must have been really cool to get that phone call.
It really was. It was a big surprise, of course, you know. I really thought it was great that, not just for myself, but that they were paying homage to the old show, you know?
Right.
But it was really a kick to do as Lionel's father, because I am now about the age. when I was doing Lionel, I was probably in my early 30s. That works out, I guess. But
yeah, guys.
Yeah, or maybe my late 30s. I don't know. So the funny thing is, of course, being older now myself, my voice has gotten a little older sounding, I guess. I don't know, but it did feel good, and I really thought it was a great homage to the original show for them to ask me on it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when we started doing it and I saw the scripts and everything, I realized how closely they were following the original show in terms of I know it looked a lot different, which is all right. But the important thing for me was that they kept the quote main identity of this show, the Code of Thundera.
Right.
The structure of the family there and the group. So I was very happy to do it.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, I was happy that you did it as well. I was really shocked and very happy that they did call you back to come in and be the father. I thought that was pretty cool, like lineage, that you were actually Lionel and for so many years, and then you came back as Claudius.
Yeah,
I thought that was great.
Yeah, me too. The only bad part was I died in the.
I know. Yeah, I know. You had a short little lived reunion.
Yeah, but I knew that going in, so it was all right.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, that must have been a great phone call to have. You know, and being a voice actor, you also did a lot of other things in the 80s. You were in Silverhawks and Tiger Sharks, the other two, like, you know, they have a mini world. It's Thundercats, Silverhawks in space, and then the Tiger Sharks. And you were able to be in all three. That was really cool.
All three of those, yeah. And then another show Rankin Bass did called Comic Strip.
Right,
which was actually four half-hour shows, a two-hour show with four different shows within that 2 hours. So we did a lot of Rankin Bass work. And when I say we, I mean virtually the same cast in all those shows.
Yeah, you guys stuck together.
Yeah. So we were working together for 3-4 years, you know. And then, of course, I worked with Bob McFadden, who played Snarf. Mm-hmm. A lot more than I had been working with Bob for years before on cereal commercials.
Right. Yeah. Count Chocula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was Count Chocula. I've been Count Chocula for almost 40 years, and I've been Sonny the Cocoa Puffs bird for 40 years.
Right.
And most of the time back then, they didn't do individual commercials for Count Chocula and for Frank and Barry. And we did them all in one commercial. We called it the Monsters commercial. It was me as Count Chocula, of course. Bob is as Frank and Betty.
Right. With
strawberry flavored marshmallows, you know. And then some other guys, you know.
Right. That's great. I mean, to have like a little family for that long must have been really cool.
It was great. We really got close, you know.
And it must have gave you like a little comfort of a comfort zone, you know, with the same people.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, sure. Whenever you're working with people you know and you've worked with before, you start from the get-go, you're on the same page. You know, you don't have to get used to the other actors and how
right.
They and there's none of this wondering, you know, what's going to happen next. Because, you know, we got to know each other pretty well.
That's great. Are you still the Monsters voice in Sonny, or you don't do the commercials anymore?
I still do Sonny the Cocoa Puffs bird.
Okay.
Up here, I won't go Cocoa for Cocoa Puffs. Yahoo! But they stopped doing TV commercials for Count Chocula.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 years ago. I still do occasionally some things for the General Mills website. They have a website for kids. That's an interactive thing where you play games and things like that. And they'll occasionally have me in as Count Chocula to host a game or something, you know, to say.
Oh, nice. And the voice of Count Chocula. Or yeah. Sonny, right?
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. You win the game. Now try again, you know.
Oh, but that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. So being a voice actor, do you think it's harder to be a voice actor in terms of like finding work? Because, you know, I mean, you got like one of the most iconic voice actors for cartoons and, you know, and things like that. But in your prime, were you more like, oh, I got to stick with the Thundercats right now?
I'm not sure what you mean.
When you were doing the Thundercats and, right. and the Silverhawks and everything, were you more dedicated to that property? I guess I'm trying to ask.
Exclusive?
No.
Because for one thing, we weren't working every day on Thundercats. We only worked 4 days a month.
Oh, wow.
On Thundercats. Yeah, we worked. Let me think now. Is that right? Yes, we did. We worked 2 days a month. We did two shows each of those days. Oh, now, the reason you might wonder, when we first started the show, first started recording the show, which was in about 84, 6 months or so before I went on the air, we recorded almost every day because we had 13 scripts written already. That's how many they write. Because the average... because you don't know if the show is going to get bought or not.
Right, you know? Right.
When you present a show to a network, whether it's a pilot for a TV comedy series or an animated show like ours, you have to have 13 shows in the can, all ready to go. Because if they say, yes, we want that, and they put it on the air, they don't have time to wait for you to record more shows.
Yeah.
Takes a long time, you know, to record the voice and then the animation.
Sure. After. Yeah. There's a lot to it.
Yeah. So we worked, like I said, 4 days a month. Yeah. On a Thursday and a Friday and a Thursday and a Friday. That gave the writers time to write new scripts, and that gave the animators time to animate things. So it took all together for 130 episodes of Thundercats. It took about 3 years to do it.
Wow.
Yeah. The same for Silverhawks and Tiger Sharks, and then we did the other things. Then we also did a bunch of Rankin Bass holiday animated specials that still run in some places.
Oh, cool! Well, that's really cool.
But in terms of, I'm sorry, I didn't answer your question fully. When we're doing that, we're not in the studio all day long every day for Thundercats. So I had time to do other things, you know. As a matter of fact, when we were recording Thundercats and Silverhawks and those others, I was still on the air with Don Imus, who I was with for 35 years.
Right.
So on those days, on those Thursdays and Fridays when we were doing Thundercats, I would do the one show in the morning with the guys. And then over the lunch hour, I would run down the street to NBC and record my stuff for Imus and then run back to Howard Schwartz recording and do the second show of the day. So, yeah, there was a lot of freedom to do other things.
Wow. That's a really tight schedule back then.
It was busy, but it was great. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about. Get the money while you can.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I first met you was at PowerCon.
Yes.
There was sort of a reunion there.
In Los Angeles.
Yes. Was that the first time you guys... I forgot their names, but Chitara and Tigra.
Was it
the first time you guys got together in years, or
no? Lynn Lipton, first of all, it was Chitara. Peter Newman was Tigra. And we were all invited out to Los Angeles to do a Comic-Con. This one's called PowerCon, as you said.
Yes.
I think that was the first time that Peter and Lynn had been invited to. That was their first con. I had done others before. And I guess, I don't know. So they invited all three of us. So that was the first time we had done a con together and appeared like on stage for question and answer things and all that. But we see each other all the time in New York, you know, because we're all still active actors.
Right.
We've lost Bob McFadden, who died some time back, and we lost Earl Hyman just a few months ago. Panthro.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still see those guys, you know. It's an ongoing thing.
Oh, that's good. No, because you know what? Now that you say that, I remember Chitara. I remember her. She was so excited to be there, you know, because now that it's coming back, you know, it was her first con with you guys.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really special because, you know, you guys were talking in the voices to each other. And it's just like I would close my eyes and, you know, I picture the cartoons and stuff. And
yeah, it was a lot of fun. We've done a few together since then, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, down in New Jersey, we've done two or three years. And a couple other places. I think maybe I forget where it was. Now we do a lot of them. You know, maybe San Antonio, Texas. I forget.
Oh, well, I mean, that's cool that you finally was able to do it with them. That, you know, with the other guys from the show, because you know you're the main guy. You know, people think of the Thundercats, it's you.
Well, so yeah, but it was great to have the other ones there too. I didn't have to answer as many questions at the Q&As. You know,
right? You know, right? Yeah.
I'm by myself, and there's, you know, 500 people in the auditorium. And then
you need a lot more bottles of water.
That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, so, you know, like John Irwin from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, he kind of secluded himself. And, you know, he doesn't do interviews. He doesn't go to cons and things like that. Now you're the total opposite of the spectrum. You came on the show today, which I'm very grateful for. You go to cons. You're very, you know, out in the open about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, it's great because, you know, fans get to interact with you and it's something special for them and for others. And that's kind of what I want to, you know, I kind of want to thank you for that because it's great that you still want to be involved and still bring Lion-O and the Thundercats to life. And I think it's a great thing that you do that.
Well, thank you. It's for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's a selfish reason. I love traveling. I love meeting new people in different places, you know?
Yeah. And I'll tell you the truth, Larry, I'm not, you know, people ask, you know, who's, you know, when I said that you're going to be on the show and I guess they didn't realize who, you know, that you're,
sure.
Who you played, and then you know, and then I said who you were or whatever, and they were like, "He's such a nice guy. He's great to talk to." Or one person was like, "I just got done talking to him." So you know, it's you got a great repertoire of being really tight with the community and the fans, and it's something special. I really think it is because you know, like I said, John Irwin shut himself out. You know, He-Man, and it's a shame. It's a shame.
Well, you never know. I mean, I'm sure there are reasons that some people.
Oh, they could don't do it. You know,
they're too busy, whatever. But I don't want to sound noble here, like I'm, you know. But da-da-da. I also, one of the other reasons is I have such a protective feeling about the legacy of Thundercats, that I couldn't say no to people, because you know, during the while the show was on the air. And years and years after, and we're talking 30, 35 years here, I would get letters from people all over the world who watched the show. And then it became emails. I get emails now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so many people write me and say in various ways, I can't tell you what you meant to my childhood. And some of them say, because I didn't have a very good childhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's touching.
Some of them will tell me some details where their life was not very good, but they say, when I was in my room, I could close my door and watch Thundercats for that half hour at least. I didn't have to worry about, you know, getting smacked around or whatever. So that means a lot to me, that to keep the legacy alive and, you know, to give back you know, if it wasn't for the fans, there'd be no show. You wouldn't be calling me, asking me to be on your show, you know. So I just feel it's an obligation, really. But that's not why I do it. I like it, or I wouldn't do it.
Correct. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
I sometimes turn down cons. You know, if I've done like two a month for 6 months, I get tired of traveling. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to just relax.
But then I get back to it after a while. Interviews, I sometimes, after my wife will say, "Hun, just tell them you've done 20 interviews in the last month and you want to take a little break from it, you know?" And yeah. you contacted me at a good time because I, which was about a month or so ago, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
I had taken a break. I might even have told you, would you wait till after the first of the year?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Anyway. So I sometimes say I really can't do it right now, you know, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's it's great that you even said that because you are going to make time and do a show or an interview or a con or whatever, and get the message out there and like you said, keep the legacy alive. And it's a great legacy to have and to be a part of. And
I was very lucky to be a part of it.
Yeah, and you did a great job. I mean, like I said,
thank you.
One of the most iconic voices. Yeah. You know, I think from the 80s, it's definitely you, John Irwin, and I forgot his name, but Optimus Prime.
Oh, sure.
I want to say Michael something, but I don't think it is.
I should know it, and I can't think of his name offhand. He's probably going to give me all kinds
the three of you are like total, is what I think of when I think of, you know, my childhood. And that's, you know, I'm a huge Masters of the Universe fan, but I am a huge Thundercats fan as well. And that's why I named this Masters of the Galaxy to include everything under one banner.
Sure. And, another thing, another reason that I like to, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No problem. Go ahead.
Another reason I like doing the cons is I get to meet all these guys, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I would never meet, because a lot of them are LA actors, you know.
Right.
And I know all the New York actors, but I don't work that much in LA, very, very rarely. So I get to meet people and we get, you know, we'll sit around for the hotel after the show and talk stories about, you know, this guy, you know, that guy. And we, you know, do other things too. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's gotta be great. And, you know, you bring up stories of the heydays and
whatnot,
you know,
yeah.
Back when cartoons were on TV.
Yeah.
We don't even have cartoons.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I tell some young people now, I say, you know, back in the old days, people tell me they used to have to run home from school to get there on time to watch Thundercats. And they'll go,
yeah,
we had to run home. I said, well, yeah, well, there were no VCRs.
Yeah.
They weren't on tape. And they only ran them once.
Exactly.
They didn't have networks where they could, you know, have marathons and things like that. So, I forget where I was going with that, but no, listen, you know, I'm 70 years old now, so that happens quite a lot.
God bless you.
I call it little mini vacations, you know, where I forget what I'm talking about.
Take them as many as you need.
Break, you know,
take them as much as you need.
Senior moments, we call that.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah.
So are you like, do you still, say, like, I called you tomorrow to do a Thundercats reboot. Would you jump on it?
Sure. I mean,
that's cool. That's great.
Oh, yeah. If it met the criteria.
Right, right.
That I have. And frankly, it goes back to what I was saying about I'm very protective of the legacy of Thundercats. I would never do something that would make fun of the show, denigrate the show, anything like that. I remember once getting a call from my agent. He said, Seth MacFarlane wants you to do Lion-O on an episode of Family Guy.
Right.
Well, I had watched Family Guy and loved it. I mean, Seth's a genius. Funny yes. show.
Oh, yeah. He the way that he brings everything from the 80s to now, it's funny. It's great.
Oh, it is. However, it's a little raunchy. You know, I said, we didn't have cartoons like this back in the 80s, you know.
Right.
And I was a little worried, frankly, about doing it because I didn't want the original fans, you know, to be upset with what, you know, look what they're doing with Lion-O and having say things. Yeah. And my son Tanner said, Dad, you have to realize that those kids are in their 30s now. They're going to love it, you know. And he was right, you know. They're not little kids anymore. They're not going to be offended. And he was right. To this day, I've never had one email that said, I thought that was a little too raunchy, what you did on Family Guy.
No, it was great. It was funny, you know, and it was cool that you even said, I totally forgot about it, you know, that you did it, but it was cool that you even said yes to that as well. Because they do bring the Thundercats to life sometimes, and other properties as well, you know, they'll have them on.
Yeah. And when the Warner Brothers thing came up, the reboot in 2011, I think it was. You talked about that earlier. They asked me, this was Warner Brothers, but I still wanted to see a script because I wanted to make sure that they were going to stay true to the, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the heart of Thundercats. And they did. They really did with their writing, all the way through. It only lasted, I think, a season or
that,
two.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a shame.
But in almost every episode, they had something that was a little reference. If you knew it was a little reference to the original series, even references to the outtakes. I'm sure you know about the outtakes on the internet.
I always said that what they did was they kind of took your series and kind of like. Took your series and ran with it, but also kind of explained it and made it its own somehow, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing that I didn't like was that Tiger and Lionel were brothers, but if you went into the new reboot without ever watching the old ones, it would blow your mind, you know, without knowing that they weren't brothers originally. It was a great property, you know, by itself. And it was a cool continuation of the originals cartoon as well, I think.
Yeah,
you know, but that's the only gripe that I have with the new Thundercats. But and it was too short. It should have kept going.
Yeah, I wish it. I wish it had. But you know, it's a tough business. The word that I got from people that I know in Warner Brothers and at Comedy Central, at the Cartoon Network, said that the ratings were good. The ratings were very good for the reboot, but the toy sales were not great. And unfortunately, these days, more than back in the 80s, that drives the success or failure of especially a cartoon show, an animated show for kids. Because if those kids aren't buying the toys, then the show goes off. And that's what happened.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like I said, the cartoon was great. I mean, it really was. It's just a shame that it didn't last longer than it did. Because I really had no... anything bad to say about it. And again, bringing you back was the icing on the cake. If they would have just used that more, I thought they would have, you know, flashbacks and stuff like that. That would have been great to have you on.
They may have had it going on further. They may have had me back again. Who knows?
Yeah. You don't know. Yeah. So I know you said you got to run. Before you go, Larry, you have any cool stories that you can share about, you know, the show?
Well, nothing in particular in terms of one particular day where something happened. If you've ever heard the outtakes, you know we had a great time taping that thing.
Yeah.
So much fun. But one of my fondest memories is watching Earl Hammond perform Mum-Ra. Because when Earl would, first of all, he did some exercises before every show. He would go... Ah, you know, and we'd be over there laughing. I'm going, come on, Earl.
He's got to get into character.
exactly. And he did. He almost transformed himself into it because, you know, when you see Mum-Ra on screen, when he gets into that big thing, he starts drooling. He would drool. Earl did that when he was. He would go, ancient spirits of evil. And he would wipe it away. And by the end of the day, we were all, the rest of us, over in the corner with a tarp.
You know, hiding under an umbrella?
Like at a Gallagher concert, you know?
Yeah, stay out of the first three rows.
But he was so, so much fun to watch doing that. But my best memories are just working with that great group of people, you know?
Yeah. I know. Like I said, I noticed that at PowerCon when you guys took the stage together. It was great.
Yeah.
I really, like I said, I could close my eyes and, you know, picture it. And it was something special to have you guys together. Yeah, it really was.
Great for us. You know, these days, The business has changed in many, many ways, but the one way that's changed that I'm not crazy about is you don't work in groups anymore, especially in commercials. I'm almost always alone in the booth with me and the engineer and maybe a producer, director, advertising agency guy or whatever. But like when we did Thundercats, we were all in that room all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Even if I didn't have a line, well, I always had Lionel. But yeah, even if your character didn't appear for 20 pages or whatever, we stayed in the room together. Yeah,
really?
It was like a team thing, you know. Yeah. You don't go in the locker room and have a sandwich while the guys are playing, you know. So, and I miss that a lot. Nowadays, as I said, you're in the booth. Even when I did the reboot in 2011, Warner Brothers flew me out to the ranch, Warner Brothers Ranch in Burbank.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to get to meet the cast, you know. And
Right.
And I knew they'd be asking me stories about when we were showing everything. I walk in this huge studio, and they had the same microphone set up as we used to have, six microphones in a semicircle, so we could all see each other, you know. And
while you're reading, yeah.
Yeah, I walk in the control room. I got there early, and I saw the setup. I said, oh, good, it's going to be just like that. And I'm talking, and at one point, the producer, the director stops me, and she says, Larry, I think we better get started. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I was waiting for the other people. She said, no, they're not working today. It's just you.
Ooh.
And then they sent me back. I went back another time, and it was the same thing. You know, I don't know why, but it would have been so much more fun.
It changed, yeah.
I did later get to meet Matthew Mercer, who played the Tigra in the new one, and Emmanuel Sharika, is that her name? I forget. She played Chitara. I met them at a Comic-Con in San Francisco. But that's the big difference to me, not working as a group.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Fun. Yeah, I mean, it'd be a lot better when you guys were all there. And you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how you tape the show live? I mean, basically a live show. Like, you know, you're reading mm-hmm. all together, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. All right, Larry, I really appreciate it. I don't want to take up too much time.
It's been fun.
Before you go,
yeah.
Can you please give us a hoe?
Well, you know, I always referred to Chitara as the original Thunder. Oh. But these days, it's probably not good to say that. But yeah, I can give you a little bit of Sword of Omens. Come to my hand. I, Lionel, command it. And of course, the big one everybody wants
wow,
to
hear is
Thunder. I tell you what, you have to do it with me at the end. I'll do the first I'll do the first three Thundercats, and then you join me on Thundercats Ho, okay?
Great.
Everybody else join in too. Thunder, 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 Thundercats,
Thundercats,
ho,
ho.
You got it. Thanks, everybody.
All right, Larry.
Thank you, Brian. My pleasure,
pal. Have a great time. I'll check in with you soon.
Do that.
Guys, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next Monday here at the Masters of the Galaxy podcast. Rock on. Larry, thank you so much. I appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, bud.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.